we're going to start reading at verse number 12 of chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your wonderful grace. And certainly we do need the grace of God, and may it be with us today. And Father, we thank you so much for the Bible, the Word of God. We ask you, Lord, help this preacher this morning. I need your help. I need your power. I need your wisdom. Lord, just help me to preach the Word of God as you would see fit. And Lord, help it do that in our hearts that needs to be done. And we'll thank you for it in the precious, lovely, most wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled God's Last Call. You know, in the last part of the Bible, I think it's interesting when God chose to end his word. The words that he ended it with is just astounding. Of course, he comes to the very end. He says, I come quickly. John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. We're ready. I think we can say that this morning. Even so come. Chuck's already said it. Come. And we'll be glad about it. And then he said, we need the grace of God. May the grace of God be with you. Well, we need the grace of God. There's, I don't think, ever a morning in my life that I don't get up and ask God for his grace. I tell him I need his grace. That day. I can't manage, you can't either, without the grace of God. And I'm thankful and grateful for it. So what we're going to do this morning here, if you notice, I'm basically going to be preaching out of verse 17. He says, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here he gives an invitation, God's last call in the Bible to eternal life. It's a marvelous thing. Throughout the Bible, God gives us an invitation. The Lord Jesus tells us to come to him that labor and are heavy laden and come to me. And he said, I'll give you rest. He invites us throughout the Bible to come to him. It's an amazing thing that right here at the end of the Word of God, after all of these that has been written, one of the last things he does is he gives an invitation for folk to come. He wants people to be saved. He wants to give them eternal life, but they must come. They must come to him. I think back in my life, and I think back when I was 26 years old before I got saved. You know, that's a lot of years. A lot of things could have happened during those years. I could have died. I could have went to hell. But by the grace of God, God saw fit to give me another opportunity, give me a chance to respond to his call for eternal life and to get saved. That's a marvelous thing. If you're saved here this morning, he's done the same for you. Now, if you're not saved here this morning, he's doing the same for you. He's given you an opportunity today to be saved. He wants you to come to him and receive Christ as your personal Savior. It's a wonderful thing, because all he says is just come and take the water of life freely. It's very simple. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but it's very simple. Very simple invitation. Just come and take it. And he says, drink of that water. That means to possess. That means to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In other words, drink him in. Take him, receive him as your personal Savior, you see. It's a wonderful, wonderful invitation, you see. And the water of life, Jesus Christ, is the only antidote for sin. Now, I know these are simple things, but you all listen to this. There isn't any other. Jesus is it. If you don't receive Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to be saved. You understand that? You know, you can plan all the things you want to plan, but it isn't going to work. You got to receive Christ as your Savior. Baptism won't do it. I got saved. It was a little while before we got baptized because of some mix-up. We didn't understand some things, and the preacher thought we had been baptized and all this. And anyway, but I wanted to be baptized, but that didn't get me into heaven. Now, you understand that. I know these are simple, but listen to me. Baptism doesn't get you into heaven. Do you understand that? It has nothing to do with getting you into heaven whatsoever. Okay? Baptism won't do it. Church membership will not get you into heaven. Do we understand that? I mean, I think church membership is a wonderful thing. I mean, I do. If you get saved and you get baptized, you ought to join Independent Fundamental Baptist Church by the name of Blessed Hope Baptist. That's what you ought to do. You ought to join this church, be a part of this church. Sure, you should. But it won't get you to heaven. Your membership, your name on the membership rolls of Blessed Hope Baptist Church will not get you to heaven. You understand that? Your good works. You say, Brother Ross, I try to live a good life. I'm glad you do, and I think you should. We all should, but that will not get you to heaven. You cannot get to heaven on your good works. You see, it's just an impossibility. I think most of you understand this, but I just wanted to make it clear. You see, you can't get to heaven on baptism, church membership, good works. That will not get you to heaven, you see. The water of life that you must take is Jesus Christ. He's the water of life. You must receive him. See, that's where I had a problem back when I was a boy. I joined the church and was baptized and all this, but I had a problem when they preached and they talked to me about receiving Christ as my Savior. Faith in Jesus Christ. I had never done that. I'd done all these other things. I thought I'd been baptized. I tried to live the right kind of life, and I was a church member. All those things. But that don't get you heaven. Now, you understand this biblically. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm talking about the Bible. It will not get you to heaven, you see. So to drink of the water of life that he talks about here in verse 17 is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. There must be a day when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you see. Except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. You understand that? See, you must be born again. When was you born again? I was born again in April of 1966. I know. I remember. I do not remember the date, but it was in April. At a revival meeting. I got saved. Do you remember the day that you got saved? No, can you go back and settle it? Drive a stake and say, this was the day. I may not remember what date it was, but I remember the time. I could take you back to the place where I received Christ as my personal Savior. Could you do? Can you do that? Amen? So anyway, we've got to receive Christ as our Savior. Notice the sincerity of the call that God gives here at the end of his word. Ending the Bible, 17th verse there, is so sincere. Listen to what he says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now listen, he says the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit of God, is saying, come. I want to tell you, that's why I got saved in 1966, because the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with me and work on my heart and convict me of sin and my need of Christ. Amen. So the Spirit of God says, come. The Spirit of God in this morning is inviting you, if you're unsaved, to come to Christ. Amen. He also says the bride says, come. I believe that's collectively the church. The bride of Jesus Christ is the church, is the every born-again believer. He's saying, come to Christ. Amen. There, that's what the church's purpose is. Here a while back, I was in contact with a man who told me his pastor never gives an invitation. Never gives an invitation. He said it's funny because he preaches the word. He preaches and all of them, but he never, ever gives an invitation. I think that's wrong. I'm not going to tell you who that is. I just think it's wrong because the Bible gives invitation. That's what verse 17 is all about. Come. You must come. You must make a decision to come to Christ. So he says, the Spirit says, come. He says, the bride says, come. And he also says, those that hear say, come. Chuck, when you got saved, I don't remember now what year it was when you got saved, but I'm sure you do. When you got saved, you're then responsible. You've heard the Word of God. Now it's your responsibility to invite folk to come. It's not just Chuck. He's telling every one of us that. He's telling us, we've heard the Word of God. We've heard what it says. And we've responded. Now it's time for us to respond and invite people to Christ. Amen. So he gives this invitation. He said, that's who I've got out there inviting you. I've got the Spirit of God inviting you. I've got the bride inviting you. I've got every individual Christian inviting you. We're asking you to come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. So the invitation is given. Let me just say, the invitation is written in blood. It's the blood of God. It's the blood of the Son of God. It's the blood of God the Son. And he shed his blood, and he, because of that, invites you to come to him. He's made the way. He's done everything that's possible to be done for you to be saved. Now he just invites you to come, you see. Come and take. All them are wonderful words, just simple words. But he says, come and take. You know, I might just use an illustration here. You know, I didn't do this morning, but if I would have sat down here on the table, down here, a whole stack of money, let's say $5,000 right down here, right there on that table. Have I got your attention? Amen. And I set it there and I said, now whosoever will come can have that. Well, I want to tell you something. We'd have the aisles full this morning, don't you think? I mean, would you come and take it? I mean, $5,000? You'd do that, wouldn't you? You'd come and take that? Sure, you'd do it in a minute. What if I said right outside here is a brand new automobile? And it's sitting right out there. It's got a big bow on it. And whoever comes down here and picks up the title of that automobile can have it. Would you be kind of led of the Lord to come down and maybe pick up the title? Would you think maybe you might make your way down here and pick that title up and go out and take that car? I think you would. Amen. I might put a deed to a piece of property out here. Let's say 40 acres and just a brand new house on it. And I'd say, I'm going to put this deed right down here on this table. And you come down, you can have it. Amen. I'd say, whoever's first. Well, I better not say that. Get some people killed. But anyway, whoever comes down and takes that can have that deed to that piece of property. Would you like to have that? Sure, you'd like to have it. And yet it's so strange that a preacher can say, right, come down here to this altar. I have eternal life waiting for you. Jesus is the one that gives it to you. And it's eternal life. The money, the new car, the house and property will all be destroyed one of these days. It'll burn up. It'll be gone. Amen. But eternal life will be forever. You hear what I'm saying? And yet multitudes will pass it by and say, I don't want it. The last call God makes is a call to eternal life. Why do we reject that? Why do we say we don't want that? Amen. Jonathan Reiser was telling us in Sunday school about a gentleman that had a chance to visit him and Pastor Jerry and offer him to him eternal life, but he said no to it. He said no. He said, I'm not ready to get saved. Why do we do that? how foolish it is. Now, we would take the car. We would take the money. We'd take the farm. Sure, we would. We'd take that in a moment's time. And yet we'll reject Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that has ever been given. Eternal life. Forever. Amen. And cannot be destroyed. Impossible for it to be destroyed. And yet mankind turns it aside and says, I don't want it. But God continues to call, you see. In fact, we are encouraged from all sides to accept Christ. That's what the church was built for. This church right here was built for that very purpose. We put boards together and drywall over the boards and cement foundation and all those things, and we built this church and we've added on to this church, and looks like we're going to add on again to this church. What for? Its purpose is to see people saved. You see, so we're here inviting folk to come to Christ. Churches across America, many of them across America, has forgot the purpose that they was established for. I believe some of these old churches, you know, that went modern, I believe used to. I believe they had a purpose and a reason for it. They wanted to see people saved. And over the time, things has just dropped away. You see, but the purpose of the church is to see people saved. Amen? So the church is here on just about every corner. We see a church. You just can't go very far without seeing a church. The purpose of the church is to call people to Christ. We're encouraged to be saved. You see, Christians, as I said to you earlier, are inviting you to be saved. We as a congregation, we want you saved. If you're unsaved, we want you saved. Where Don and I received Christ and our children received Christ, they wanted us saved. They preached the gospel there so that we'd be saved, you see. And I'm saying to you, we Christians here in this place want you to be saved. We want you to know Christ as your Savior. And in fact, according to the Bible, if the dead themselves could influence you to get saved, they would. Luke 16 chapter. Yes, sir. The rich man who died and went to hell, he said, oh, send somebody to my brethren, my five brethren, that they would not come to the place like this. You see, he couldn't send anybody, but if they could, the dead would holler out and say, don't come here. You see, they wouldn't. So the invitation is there that you need to be saved. In fact, your own soul needs the peace of God. I look back the days before my salvation. I didn't have the peace of God. See, I didn't have that peace that I was all right with God because I wasn't. After I got saved, there was a peace come into my heart. I know I'm all right with God today, not because of me, but because of Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. You need that peace. Don't you want to lay your head down on your pillow of a night and just lay it down and thinking, you know, no matter what happens, it's all right, because I'm going to go to heaven if God decides to take me home. But if you're not saved, you don't have that peace. Your soul needs the peace of God. The Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. Now, you can say, if you're unsaved, you can say to me, I have peace, Brother Roth. No, you don't. The Bible says you do not have peace. You may have the peace of this world. The world offers you. You may have a certain amount of peace, but you don't have the peace of God. It's impossible, because the Bible says that the wicked has no peace. Amen? So I'm saying to you, your own soul needs the peace of God to be able to say, I'm saved and ready for heaven. You understand? See, I can't see the heart of men. I can't look into your heart. I don't know what you're feeling right now. I don't know whether you can say for sure, I'm saved, I'm born again. I don't know for sure whether you can say that or not. But if you can't say that, you don't have peace. You understand? You don't have peace, and you need the peace of God. So we see that invitation is very sincere, and it's also very simple. I've kind of covered this a little bit. Just see what he says in verse 17. Come and take. Now that's simple. See, Brother Ross, how do you get saved? Is it difficult? Is it hard? No, just come and take. Take that which Jesus has already provided for you. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, just come and take it. Well, that's simple. Amen. Just come and take it. Anybody can understand that. See, brother, why can children get saved? Because it's simple. Just come and take. Amen. That's all you have to do. Eternal life. Just come and take. Now, I want to ask you a question. You may be in this place today. This may be God's last call to you. Oliver B. Green, one of the great preachers, he's dead now, but one of the great preachers, I read in one of his books, he said that in the span of his ministry, there was two men that had come forward in his tent meeting. He used to hold great big tent meetings. He'd have a tent that would hold 2,000 or 3,000. He had these great tent meetings. And he said two men during the span of his ministry came forward, was kneeling, receiving Christ as their Savior, and they had a heart attack and died. I want to tell you, that's cutting it pretty close. Amen. They was at the altar being dealt with, receiving Christ, and God took them home. Now listen to me. You say, Brother Ross, did you think they would have died if they hadn't? I think they would have. I think it was God's last call. God's last call for that individual. This is it. You either get saved or you don't. Now I'm saying to you, are you ready? What if this is today is the last time you'll be called unto salvation? Do you hear this, preacher? See, you can say, oh no, Brother Ross, I'm going to live a long time. You better get your facts straight. You may never be called again. This may be the last call. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? See, it's God's last call in the Bible. God may take this as your final answer. You say no today, God may say, okay, that's your final answer. That's it. You hear what I'm saying? Well, you better make this thing serious. See, God's last call. Anytime a preacher gets up and preaches, God has a reason for the message that He's given. You understand that? I mean, this isn't by accident. There's reasons for it. God has purposes for it. So is it the last call that God is ever going to give you an opportunity to be saved? Amen? You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest message that there ever has been or ever will be. You can't proclaim a better message. I want to tell you, I heard an old preacher say years and years ago, and it helped me so much. He said, I may not be able to preach the message as well as some other preacher, but there is no preacher alive can preach a better message. I may not be able to do it as well as some can, but the message, you can't preach a better message than the gospel of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And if you get right down to it, I'm not going to spend time on that because I don't want you to get caught up in all these personality stuffs. You go back to 1 Corinthians, you find out that's people lovers. God says we're nothing anyway. He said we just sow, we just plant, and we just water and do all of that, but God gives the increase. It isn't man that does it, it's God that does it. But it's the message of Jesus Christ, and that message is, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today's the day. Now's the time. Today's it. Amen. Today's that for you. You're unsaved. Today is it. Maybe the last call that you ever receive, you see. You see, just give you a few things. If it was ever right for you to get saved, it's right for you to get saved today. Why would you take a chance of putting that thing off? You think about it, how silly that is. See, God wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. How silly it is for us to put that off and put that off. See, till another time, and take a chance for it being the last call that God ever gives us. Do you know that rejecting Jesus Christ is the greatest sin that you can commit? Oh, Brother Ross, there's no. Rejecting Christ is the sin that'll send you to hell. Receiving Christ is that which will give you a place in heaven forever. You understand what I'm saying? You can sit there and you say, well, I'm just not going to do it. I know. You don't have to. God's not going to force you. But what a wise thing it would be for you to repent of your sins today and turn to God and say, oh, God, I'm an old sinner. I need to be saved just like you said. And I want to put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so that I can be ready for heaven. Do you think that would be a right thing to do? That would be a proper thing to do, you see. So you ought to be saved today because the Holy Spirit of God is calling today. It's interesting over in the book of Acts. And Stephen, there in the 7th chapter of Acts, he asked the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he asked them a question. He said, you do always, or made a statement, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Why do you resist the Holy Ghost? Why do you do that? Why do you sit here today if you're unsaved and resist the Holy Spirit's call upon your life? Why do you do that? How foolish to do that. Are you better than God? Are you greater than the Holy Spirit of God? Why do you resist His call upon your life? It may be the last call you ever receive. And the Holy Spirit of God is calling you. You see, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to reject God's call. I'm going to take you over to the book of Hebrews if you'd like to turn there. Hold your place in Revelation, book of Hebrews. I want you just, though, pay attention and listen as I read the 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read to you a few verses. I want you to listen. Put your ears to this preacher and hear. Okay? Don't think about anything else. Just listen to what I'm going to read to you in chapter 3, verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, that's Hebrews 3, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, listen to what He says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I want to tell you, this hardening of heart is a serious business. It is for the non-believer. Because the older he gets, as we'll talk about in a moment, the older he gets, it seems like the harder his heart gets. And also for the Christian, to harden their hearts against God and His Word and His will for their life. That's dangerous business. We need to remember that our hearts can be hardened. Unbelievers can just get harder and harder and harder, and they just reject the call of God for their life. Do you ever think about something? Do you ever think that every infidel, every atheist that ever lived one day was a sweet, tender-hearted little baby? Do you ever think that one day that a person becomes a drunkard, an alcoholic? Do you realize that there was a day when that sweet little baby, tender-hearted, and his heart hardened over the years, and he grew up, and now he's a drunkard, he's an alcoholic? Do you ever think about the drug addicts in today's world, and there's plenty of them? Do you ever think about that if one day they was a sweet, tender-hearted, little sweet baby? Don't you love babies? You think that's what they were? Okay? Did you ever really shake your head and don't want anything to do with it and hardened and laugh at the preacher and mock at the preacher? But you're not hurting the preacher. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. You can reject the call of God on your life all you want to. And I want to tell you something. It'll grieve me, but it's not going to change my destination whatsoever. But it will make it possible that you cannot go to heaven. Continue to reject the call of God upon your life. It may be the very last call that you ever have. Another reason why you ought to get saved is the soon coming of Jesus Christ. We talk about it. People sometimes, some folk mock about it. They don't believe it. But Jesus is coming. It's all through His Word. He's coming. I believe by all the things that's happening today, it's coming soon. I want to tell you the smartest thing in the world that you could do is get saved and be prepared for His coming. Amen. See, the call of God right here at the end of the Bible, we find He's calling for people to be saved, you see. The uncertainty of life and the certainty of death is the reason why you ought to get saved. See, you do not know when you're going to die. You do not know if you've got another day. But let's just make sure one thing. Death is certain. You understand it? Death will come. And because of that, the smartest thing you could do is get ready for death. Respond to the call of God and be ready. You see, be ready to meet Christ. So we find also in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, first verse, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. You know, you can be reproved. I can preach to you. Other preachers can preach to you. We can holler and scream at you. And we can talk about the need of getting right with God. But until you make that decision, you make that step, it's not going to work. I can't pray you into heaven. I can't talk you into heaven. You must be saved. You must be born again. You must be washed in the blood of Christ. You must receive Him as your own Savior. See, you understand what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying? You see, you're not saved just because you exist out there. You're already condemned, the Bible says. And the only way you're not going to be condemned is be born again. Your sins washed away. And then not only that, the reason it would be right and proper for a person to get saved is because the wrath of God is on all Christ rejecters. That ought to impel you to get saved. Think about it just with me for a moment. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He went through all He went through, the suffering, the horribleness of the sin coming upon Him of every man, although He was without sin. Just imagine, just for a moment, you say no to that. You tell me how God Almighty is going to respond to that. He gave His only begotten Son. He let Him come and to be hung on a cross and to be treated terribly, hung on a cross and died there and buried. But thank God rose again. Now, what do you think God is going to respond? You say, oh, well, don't. Oh, yes, it does. You are absolutely rejecting the one that God sent to be your Savior. You're saying no to the call of God. That's dangerous. Listen to what the Bible says. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. A person who rejects Christ will be turned into hell. You hear this? You hear this, preacher? The Bible says in Revelation 16:1, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. God's wrath is great. And it's going to be one of these days during the tribulation period absolutely be poured out upon this earth. The wrath of God. Now, the way you can escape the wrath of God is to respond to the call of God to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Okay? I'm just the messenger. I'm not the message. I was just sent to deliver this morning. And I want you to be saved. But more than that, God wants you to be saved. He loves you. I remember sitting in a church much like this, responding to the invitation to be saved. Understand what I'm saying? So I know where you're at. You need to be saved. You need to ask Christ to save you. You just need to come forward. Folks, we're not against you. We're for you. You come and there'll be people show you. Take the Bible and show you how to be saved. What a wonderful, glorious thing it would be if you'd come this morning, put your faith and trust in Christ, go from here knowing that you've responded to the last call of God.